She said hi.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here and worship you this morning. I pray that you help us to learn what you want us to learn about the lesson today. Help us to be able to apply it to our lives. Help all the requests today about finding a job or having more hours to be able to go to work or school things. I pray that you bless in all those situations. Give them clarity of mind as they learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we've been talking about God's will.
It's not your will.
It's a will.
And the last lesson, if you will, I know what I missed last week being sick. We did God's extravagance versus my feeble imagination. We talked about what God has planned for you is always better than what you have planned for yourself. Even though you don't know it, and it might be hard to accept. And you may wake up in the morning and it may be Leah, not Rachel. But Leah turned out pretty good for what God wanted and what Jacob actually needed.
Oh, I just
Rachel
got what
turned
you
out
did.
Really bad.
That's right.
And I just got that.
All
yeah. Our we had Brother Farnham had a lesson about that.
Exactly.
So the next one is commit to God's call and purpose. I do see one book out in the class, so we'll fill in the blank. Are we missing any other blanks? Did I actually come? All right.
I mean, that. We have blank on the back, though. Yes. I assume we haven't got there yet. So.
Okay. Look at that. Wow. All right. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. This is not new to anyone.
What if it's a verse they've never read ever?
Then you haven't read your Bible all the way through.
And then dun, dun, dun.
Oh, hey, I know this verse. Mm-hmm. All the way through it.
Alright, Derek, go ahead and read us Hebrews 11:6.
But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Okay. But without faith it is impossible to please him. So, there's a lot of ways you can interpret that. You could go really, really simple and you could say, if you don't have faith in God, you'll never make God happy. That would be a true interpretation of that verse. But then you could go just a little deeper and say, if we're saved by grace through faith, as it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and getting saved is your start of your relationship with God, you'll never have a pleasing to God relationship with him until you get saved, which requires faith, right? And just like we backed that up a little bit, you could keep adding to how you think about that. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm sure entire series of messages have been preached on this. I've heard some of them. No, I'm not going to try to regurgitate all of it for you. But but let's quickly address what is faith.
Hebrews chapter 5.
Anybody have an idea?
Is that a literal question?
Okay. It's a literal question. Not an allegorical.
Faith is believing that it's like having no proof of something's existence, yet still believing that it's real.
Still believing that it's real.
Well, that's pretty much all. It's just believing in something you cannot see. When you step out on a ledge, that you know that there's another step there, but you can't see it because of the rest.
One of my favorite examples of things we know exist and we believe exist, but we can't see is the wind.
And when I second these verses,
have you ever, ladies, have you ever had your hair messed up by the wind?
Yeah.
Did you see the wind? You saw the wind, or did you see the effects of the wind?
I saw the effects of the wind.
Can you see God in front of you? But can you see the effect God has had on this area, this building? These people, can you see the effect God had when he created the earth? Can you see the effect God had when you look in the ocean? And not only are there whales, but there's something for whales to eat. Right? Some of the biggest creatures on the planet, these huge whales, eat some of the smallest creatures on the planet.
This big.
They're tiny. Yeah. God created that. It's by design. We have a Bible definition of faith. And the reason we don't always jump straight to that is because the way it's written isn't the way we all talk today. So when you read it, you kind of have to read it twice if you think about it. But it really does explain what faith is. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
That's basically what we just said.
It is basically what we just said. It's not different than what we just said. But it's a very strong definition of faith. Look at what we use faith for. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So you've got, you're in Hebrews now. You're at the back of the Bible. There's only a few books left till the end. And you've got an Old Testament full of stories of men and women who did great things for God. Great things. David killed Goliath. David expanded the kingdom. Saul expanded the kingdom. Samuel led them through all kind of problems and famine. Samuel went and challenged the... I like Samuel a lot. He saw the bad guys there. And instead of just leaving them alone, he goes and he challenges them. Right? There's a drought. No one's got food or water except the really rich and really powerful people or the people that God's sneaking food and water to. Right? That's it. He goes and challenges them. Let's have a barbecue. Let's build an altar to your God. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's rain down fire on it. Let's have a cookout. Let's have a party. Let's have a cookout. He challenges the bad guy. He brings them out. He draws them out into public. He shows them to everyone. He's on a mountaintop. People around the lower parts of the mountain, they could see what was going on. He challenged them. What do you think would have happened to him if their part failed and then he got his stuff out and he prayed and nothing happened?
They would have laughed at both of them.
Oh, they would have done more than laugh. He didn't have the king's backing. He didn't have the king's soldiers. He didn't have an army protecting him like the prophets of Baal did. The prophets of Baal were the state religion. Right? That's what Jezebel believed. That's what Ahab believed. He had so much faith that he not only believed God could do it, he put himself at personal risk, called them out in public, put himself at risk of being harmed, killed, imprisoned, whatever. Then put himself at risk of being made fun of. Most of us are deathly afraid of that, and it stops us from even witnessing. Right? I mean, come on. They laughed at me. What are you, six? Get over it. Right? He put himself at all this risk. And he knew. He knew for a fact God was there. He knew for a fact that God would answer his prayer. Now, how did Samuel know for a fact this would not be a problem?
Because he had faith.
Okay. Now, did he have more faith on this particular day than he did on the day God called him to be a judge, a priest?
Probably.
Probably why?
Because if we continue to trust and we see the fruit of our faith, essentially, then we would just assume we grow.
So faith is something that grows when you exercise it. It's like a muscle. Unfortunately, my dad is in an Alzheimer's home. And he gets tired of being dragged around the home with his walker walking. And so he'll start refusing to let them take him on a walk. And after he's done that for a week or so, he can't walk anymore. Then he has to go back to physical therapy. And then they work with him with different exercises and different things, and they get him back to where he can walk a little bit. And then they start taking him on his walks. And he gets to where he can walk better and better. Then he's allowed to leave the facility with my sister again, and she can take him home, he can watch the football game with her. And then a few weeks or a few months later, he'll get tired being dragged around the Alzheimer's home walking, because it's tiring and it's hard, and he'll quit exercising. And after about a week of not exercising, he's back to not being able to walk anymore. And he's been through this cycle several times. Samuel picked a different cycle. Samuel said, I have faith in God. When he was dropped off at the temple by his mother, and then Eli, he kept getting up and running into Eli, the priest, the high priest, and saying, I'm here. I'm here. The priest saying, I didn't call you. Finally, the priest said, it must be God calling you, so answer him. Saw that little bit of faith that Samuel had. Okay, the priest is, and it must be God, so I'll answer. And he did. And his faith grew and grew. And he was able to do great things through faith. Great things through faith. Stuff we would never, how many of you would challenge the local religion and say, come on, let's go set up, let's have a cookout, let's see if your God will cook your fatted calf before my God will cook mine. How many of you would have the faith to go out and do that? Because all of us are walking so close to the Lord, right? We know absolutely for sure if that's what he wants us to do. And we know absolutely for sure that all it takes is one prayer from us. And what did Samuel pray in that prayer? Did he say, God, please send down your fire and cook the feast? No. All he did is praise God. He said, God, we know you're there. We know you're powerful. We know you are able. And boom, fire came down from heaven. And it ate up the feast. And the, what was it, 24 barrels of water or some ridiculous, I forget exactly, a whole bunch of water, which was bad because they had a famine going, right? No one really had any water. And what they did have, he poured it on the feast.
The ashes.
And then God ate all that up, and the rocks, and the ashes.
Oh, he took it?
Yeah. God, the fire God sent down didn't just light the coals, right? Didn't just get the kindling to smolder a little bit. He lit it, and it was gone. It was fire only God is capable of. We don't create fire that powerful with anything we have. If we create fire and we put a rock in it, we get a hot rock out. Really? That's what happens. God's fire was a little different. God is powerful. God answers prayer. I'm sure. I mean, we're created in God. I don't want to say God is human, so he enjoyed this. I want to say we're created like God, and if we had been the ones who was able to work that miracle and watch the other prophets make a fool of themselves and their God and their religion, and then what we believe and our God, and it shined, I mean, if we were part of that, we would be proud of that. That would tickle us a little bit. That would be the bedtime story we told the kids. I was there. There wasn't even smoke. There was nothing left of that sacrifice. That's the result of faith. And as Steve said, it starts with a little faith when you get saved. And it grows and grows and grows. Let's face it. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Literally, the worlds were created and framed and look the way they do because God said the word. A word. He created it by speaking. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the guys who, the scientists, the evolutionists who challenged God, when they called him down and they said, we figured out this creation thing. We know how to make a man. God said, okay, let's do it. You make yours and then I'll make mine. And they did their little, chant and they checked the temperature and they got everything all set right. They reached down and they scooped up a handful of dirt because God, the Bible says God created man from the dust of the ground. He looked back at them and said, get your own dirt. God created the universe, and this says, things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He spoke it into existence. He didn't take the ingredients, like Jenny just came in, she's making us lunch, right? In the kitchen. And she packed up all the ingredients last night and drove them over here. She took all the ingredients and put them in the crock pot, and it's going to turn into a really good lunch. We all know that. We've eaten before from...
And lava cake.
Right? But wouldn't it be just one step greater if Jenny could look over and say, lava cake, and it would just be there? Mm-hmm. Right?
Lava
I mean, wouldn't
cake.
That be even a little more... Wouldn't that be a little more impressive?
Spaghetti.
If you could make it without having to have the ingredients.
Like, if you could make anything, you'd pick spaghetti?
Spaghetti's my
filet
favorite.
Filet mignon, okay?
Yes, that's a better choice. Like,
rack of ribs.
The point here is...
From Jenner's.
God's version of creation is different than our version of making something. Right? All of us, we can do our science project in grade school, and we can go get the materials, and we can assemble it, and we can do our little experiment, and we can say, this is how it works. Right? God not only invented all that stuff we just studied, God spoke it into existence from nothing. Okay? So it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Then it says, things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And then we jump down to verse 6 and we say, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we've been talking all this time about God has a plan for your life, and God's plan for your life is better than your plan for your life, even though you probably can't see that. It requires, are you ready for this? Faith?
No way.
Requires faith. Yes, there was a reason we went down the faith pathway.
Mind blown.
He has a plan for us, even though we probably can't see it and don't know what it is. And if you did know what it was, you'd start questioning it because you're human. Right? So He doesn't tell you what it is. Because He wants you to have faith. And He tells us without faith you can't believe Him. So you can't be in His plan without faith. You can't get saved without faith. And we've talked about all the different reasons why God's plan would and could and is better than our plan, even though we don't know it. And now, the point of this section of the lesson is, commit to God's call and purpose. You committed an awful lot when you came in and sat down in your chair. You committed your entire body, right? The back of your head was very committed to you not falling over when you sat in that chair. Right? Your wrists that you would have tried to use to turn around and catch yourself were very committed when you took that action to sit in that chair. Because you had faith. I've sat in a chair like that before. On a floor like this before. I think it's probably stable enough and strong enough. I can sit in this chair and not go over and land on my head. You had faith. Now, the first time you sat in a chair like this, you might have thought twice about it. You might have been like, can I even climb up to get in that chair? Because I'm only 2 feet. Right?
Yes.
But you learned from a young age, this chair will hold me up. When you got saved, you were an infant in Christ, right? Requiring the milk, graduating later to the more solid foods like the filet mignon you brought up. It takes faith to get started, but then the faith has to grow through exercising it. And you have to commit to God's plan. If you don't commit to God's plan, He can't put it in action. Remember my story about trying really hard to get in the military? If I had got kicked out, but I had gotten stubborn and stormed my way back down to the school anyway, and tried to move back into the dorm and tried to keep going to school, keep going to ROTC class, they just laughed. Because I was out. They said, you are medically disqualified, you cannot do it. If I had been stubborn about it and decided to do it anyway, it wouldn't have changed anything. Except I would have been miserable. Right? That's how it works. You gotta commit to His plan. Now, I will not say that I was the great Christian I should have been, because I had been saved many years at this point. And I will not say that when I got my letter that said, you're not going to be in the Air Force, I will not lie to you and say, I took that letter and I set it next to my Bible and I said, okay, Lord, show me what else you have for me that's different. I was not that person that I should have been. It would have been a lot easier for me through those months if I had been. But that's what I should have done. It's really easy to see that now. I mean, once you make a mistake, you can really easily see what you should have done different. But making the choice to commit to God's call and purpose and fully follow Him is never a mistake. You're never going to regret it. It's not always going to be easy, but you're never going to regret it. It says, even good desires can become idols. What if your desire was to be, and this is my desire because I'm not one, what if your desire was to be a good singer? I'd love to praise God. I have a really loud radio in my car so that I can sing as loud as I want, not even I have to hear it.
Yeah.
Right?
We need more men.
I see that the men are outnumbered in the choir. But if I went and got up there, it wouldn't be a choir anymore. It would be a lynch mob trying to get me back off.
No, you'd be okay.
He'd really be okay.
It's funny because we were talking. My mom.
I know your son wants to join.
So oh, yeah, he does.
Join too. Oh, totally.
He actually can sing.
I wish I had the recordings handy. My mom could sing like you would not believe.
It was
amazing.
She
was
like her.
And she's all of 5'3". Right? And my dad is 6'5".
That's so funny.
And I'm 6'1". And we would stand, and we're both big, loud guys, right? We would stand on either side of her in church. She would come up to hear. She would come up to hear on my dad. And we'd be standing there singing, and my dad was very animated sometimes. So he'd have his hymn book, and he'd be singing literally like this, as loud as he could, and way off key. I'd be on a whole nother key, but not the right key, right? My mom would be stuck in between. Usually the people in front of us would be shaking their head. And mom would get tired of only hearing things off key. And she would just let, you know, half of her voice out. And just drown us out. No one could hear us anymore. And man, was she on key. She was right, dead on. And she would sing. And that's probably really what Dad wanted the whole time, was just to hear her sing. But it was great. I would love to be that kind of singer, where I could stand next to someone who's off key and not just know. Because, like, I run sound. I listen, and when someone goes off key, I'm like, okay. That sounds like me singing, right? I can hear it. I don't say. I'm never going to pick on anybody because I can't do it any better.
You see me quiet looking at me.
Right? But if someone goes off key, I can hear it. I would rather be the person who didn't just have to hear it. If I could go and show them what on key was, or if I could sing it right, loudly, next to them so they could hear it. I'm not that person. When you have a goal, and it's a good desire. I want to praise God. I want to do what Psalm 100 says and make a joyful noise. Time out. It didn't say on key. It said joyful. Praise the Lord for that.
Are you Zach from Saved by the Bell?
No.
That's right. Just watch that.
That's not what I was thinking at all.
I grew up watching Saved by the Bell.
Even though I grew up watching it, I like to watch it now.
Saturday mornings.
I like the little thing.
NBC.
That sounds so good.
If I let becoming a good singer take over my life, I went and started taking, what do you take first? Just basic music. I have to learn how to read some notes.
Oh, I don't know how to read music.
Then, you know, that would be okay. I could squeeze that class in whenever. Then I started taking voice lessons, right? Then I started going and practicing, you know, to sing opera and did all this. Pretty soon I wouldn't be in church anymore. I wouldn't have time for it. I could let this good desire of wanting to be able to praise the Lord well overtake the things I should be doing. And even a good desire can become a bad idol. Do you have a personal desire you're putting before God's will? We probably all do. Probably all of us do. Do you have something you spent more time on than being close to God this week? And it's not reading your Bible and praying, right? Those are wonderful things. Being close to God is more than reading your Bible and praying. Because let's be honest, even a pastor who's preparing lessons for the week all week and who spends an hour in prayer every morning, like Brother Baldwin was telling us he does, you know, when he was here, and then spends time studying God's Word and counsels people out of God's Word, that would still only, if you added all that up and compared it to the number of hours in a day, that would only be a small percentage, right? Being close to God is doing what He wants you to do as unto Him. If I go to work and I do a really good job, and I'm a good witness while I'm there, and I don't mean I shove my Bible in front of everybody who comes in my office, and I don't mean that I put a Bible verse at the beginning and end of every email I send, right? That's not necessarily being a good witness. Being a good witness is the guy who stubs his toe or drops his salad on the way back from the cafeteria. Oh, I haven't dropped the whole salad yet. I've definitely also lived before. The guy who does that and doesn't let out with a string of curse words. That's different than everybody else there, I promise you. It's different. That's a witness. Being close to God is doing the things you're supposed to do. Is there something you spent more time thinking about or desiring this week, this past week, than you did thinking about what you were doing that time to serve God? Let's look at James 4:15. It's really, I have a Bible study I've been working on for a while now that goes through the New Testament chronologically. So it jumps all around. And it's really interesting to me that the Bible is not in chronological order. But it's really neat to me that Hebrews and James are right next to each other, because they go together so well. James 4:15 says, "For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." That should be your attitude. Have you ever heard someone say something stupid like, "Lord willing, we'll make it to this R-rated movie on time"? I've heard people who've adopted this verse as the way of saying, "I hope this happens," right? And what they're really saying is, "I for me," or "they for themselves, hope this happens." They're not saying, "I only want this to happen if it's the Lord's will." That's why they would say something like, "Lord willing, we'll get there on time." And where they're headed is not an appropriate place to go. "Lord willing, we'll have enough money to do this or that that's not honoring to God. Lord willing, we'll be able to take a vacation and not go to church." That doesn't make any sense. The verse says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. There's a companion saying that goes with this. If the Lord tarries. Meaning if He doesn't come snatch us out of here, tomorrow we're planning on doing this. I've heard that used in weird cliche ways too. But it is the right attitude for us to have. If I went to work in the morning, all stressed about all the things I had to get done, and then left all stressed because I didn't get enough done, but at no point did I stop and pray and ask Him for help. Did I do it as unto the Lord? Did I do what I was doing that day as a service unto Him?
Probably not.
And if I never stopped to pray about it, that probably means the Lord never entered my mind the whole day. That's just wrong. I mean, how can He save you and you call yourself His child and He never enters your mind the whole time? So the lesson is, the memory verse is James 4:15 that we just read. The lesson is, so I get the blanks filled in correctly, commit to God's call and purpose. That should go right along with the other things I'm talking about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here this morning. We thank you for your word and how it teaches us things. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please you. And then just a few verses up, it defines faith very well for us and tells us what happens when we have faith. And then gives us more examples. And thank you that you have such a teaching spirit and want to show us how to do things and not just demand things of us. Pray that you'd help us each to exercise our faith and grow it to the point where we're ready to do things like what is said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Any directions for our afternoon?
Well, we're going to have to meet in the portable, so I really, truly don't know. We have to, like, burn the table. I
have the book.
I guess we'll just have to play it by ear.
Oh, this is my first.
All right, so
are y'all staying?
Are you staying to eat?
Yes, I have to. I'm gonna practice with whatchamacallit, and then I have to learn the hobby lobby because it's going to be unfortunate, and it just isn't.